Good morning. Today is Thursday, June the 16th. Joining us this morning, one day left, Fred Van Fleck. Good morning.
Good morning. Graduation Eve, Eureka High School.
It's not like Christmas Eve where you get to open a present early, you get to open the diploma early.
Nope. In fact, most of the students just get a blank cover. I probably just spoiled the surprise for all of them.
Nah, it's probably not much of a surprise.
Yeah. But a blank diploma sleeve is better than a diploma sleeve that says, I'll see you this summer.
Yeah, well, I would suspect that that's part of the reason why, too, because you got every class has those scrambling last minutes.
Yeah, actually,
do they make it? Do they not make it?
They go get their diploma right after. They're there at graduation. They just go down and get the diplomas right at the conclusion of graduation. And so they'll do that again this year.
Are you up there so they get a chance to, like, hit you with silly putty or, you know, anything sticky or
I don't know that I want to publicly admit that I'll be up there. You're going to make me a target now.
No, I'm just allowing for creativity to exist, that's all.
Yes, I will be on stage.
Ah. You still use the school board members as a...
They hand out the diplomas, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're just sitting there trying to look pretty.
It doesn't work well for me, but
well,
I try.
I understand that.
Yeah.
There's still the attempt. At least you're trying. Are you ready, speaking of trying, for your why do we say that?
I'll tell you in a minute.
All right. Why do we say blue ribbon?
Blue ribbon. Well, I'm assuming that it ribbons come from judging, and we have the Redwood Acres Fair coming up here, and I can tell you exactly what a blue ribbon is, but
PBR.
Yep.
Oh,
nope,
gee, didn't even have to explain that one. Interesting.
Professional bull riding? Is that
yeah,
what it is?
Yeah, of course.
I really, you know what? I'm ashamed to admit that I do not know the origin of the blue ribbon.
Partly because blue dye of good quality was scarce and expensive, rulers of at least two nations elevated the color to prominence. In France, induction into the ancient order of the Holy Ghost was the highest honor a knight could receive. Membership in it was symbolized by a blue scarf that ordinary people were forbidden to wear. English monarchs who wished to confer lasting honor upon a soldier or civil servant, bestowed the Order of the Garter. A ribbon of bright blue constituted the order's badge. Inevitably, judges of contest began awarding blue ribbons to people who placed first, whether or not a strand of fabric is used. Anyone who wins or is awarded a blue ribbon knows that it signifies the highest possible honor.
Well, I got part of it right. At least I knew that a blue ribbon was the highest
that
award.
Meant something.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So, other than PBR.
Yes. Good job. Good job. Drink up, lad. Update on the gym and Jacobs. What's cooking?
Yeah, well, the gym is cooking. It is moving right along, and I don't know if anybody has not driven by the high school, which I'm sure lots of people haven't in the past month or so. I just encourage you, if you have any interest in the gym, to make a monthly drive-by.
If
and
you
just
like yellow,
see the progress.
It's there.
It is, yes, and that is not the gym color. That is simply the wrap and the insulation, so it will not be that color. But they are putting
That's
the
right.
glazing up.
We don't
up.
Have yellow. Oh, South Fork. I guess South Fork's the only one that has yellow, huh?
Down
the Lord. I was thinking in county.
Yep, I think that is accurate. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Proceed.
Yes. So anyways, the gym, they are starting to put the glazing up or the windows, and that is happening as we speak. And so good progress is being made. We are still at this point on schedule for the Logger Classic in December to host our first event in there. But we are going to be right on the wire of that one. And so, but the plan is still to have some events inside the gym. It won't be 100% complete at that point, but substantially complete, so we can do some activities inside the gym.
You mean like PE?
No, like the Logger Classic tournament.
Well, yeah,
yes.
But...
No, PE won't start in there for a little bit longer. We want completion prior to PE starting in there, and so they'll stay in the old gym until the new gym is completely done. Then they'll transition over to the new gym, and then they'll do the abatement and demolition of the existing gym.
You move across the street?
Yep, pretty much. And
yeah.
it's technically not even across the street because K Street has already ended prior to getting there.
Across the roadway.
Yeah, across the, it'll be the new bus turnaround. Yes.
Yeah. And how many seconds will it take to detonate the old gym?
Well, we have to start with the abatement, and that's what'll take the time because there's asbestos inside there from all the old insulation, and then
down in the basement.
Yep, the old boiler's still down there.
I've only been down there once.
You're not missing a whole lot.
No, but it's, you know, it's kind of like part of the whole building.
Yeah, kind of dank, dark.
Yeah,
a mild bit creepy.
Yeah, yeah. And the swimming pools. Anybody been in?
No, the swimming pool's a glorious bright green color. From the roof leakage?
Oh, good.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't keep water in the pool, obviously, and we actually have to pump the pool out once in a while because the roof is just completely failed.
Let's turn it into a solarium or just knock it out entirely. Do that part of it. It's probably cheaper just to do it one shot, though. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly, you know, we're just doing it one shot, and it's all part of the contract. And right now we're very thankful that we're locked into a contract for that because we're working on the bid for the science building right now, and we have some preliminary numbers, and it's looking like it's going to come in 40% over what we originally budgeted for the project.
I heard earlier this week there was a reference that building materials since 2018 have gone up 42%.
I absolutely believe it. I believe it. Lumber's back on its way down right now, though.
Right, yeah. Some of the framing materials are...
Right.
They got the mills up and running.
Yeah, and in my understanding is what they'll do is that that number's going to come below what they're willing to produce it, so they'll just slow down the production and bring the price back up. So we'll see how that goes.
That doesn't bode well for the neighborhood, does it?
No, it doesn't. I don't think you can pick a thing out there right now that bodes well for the neighborhood if it costs money, because good grief, you just think about the cost of fuel and the impact that that has on the cost of everything is just added on top of everything.
Yeah, you'd think somebody in the swamp would figure out that this is a bigger issue and you can't keep blaming, you got to start doing.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And then you think about that, they're worried about the national price hitting $5 a gallon. Whew, that's been here for a day.
502 on Monday. We're happening. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It's been a minute since it's been 502 here in Humboldt County, though.
Yeah. Let's talk $97 billion surpluses when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Fred Jacobs also, I drove by there last week sometime. It was almost like I wanted to walk it because it looked like it was ruins. Like an old archaeological site. But then I thought, no, there might be something still moving around up there too. I think you need the lawnmower dudes to hit it.
The lawnmower dudes will be out soon. Our priority has been for promotions and graduation to really hit the sites and make sure things are looking in good shape for
those. This doesn't look like it's been the last 2 weeks.
This
looks like a little bit more
substantial. But you have to admit.
Unless you're going for old growth. If that's the look, then you're well on your way.
Well, where do you think the winery in town here got its name? Old Growth Cellars, you know? That's what's left there at Jacobs. And we've got the old growth grass, so we're making our own old growth cellars.
There. He's a St. Bernard's kid. You know that.
So anyways, this has been, I'm talking, I'm not biting on that one. Yeah.
Zoom.
This has been the craziest grass season we've ever seen. And so one of the things that's a challenge for any business is when you have groundskeepers on staff, you're always going to be understaffed for this time of year. And when you're in the middle of winter, you're overstaffed. And so you try to balance that out. And candidly, we're understaffed to get all the mowing and all that kind of stuff done. We are hiring extra help on for the summer to help us get caught up. Yeah. So anyways, back to the, I think, what was the crux of the story on what's happening with Jacob. Still in the conversation with CHP. In fact, they're doing their phase one environmental study right now. City of Eureka is still in the conversation. But it's just been an incredibly slow process.
Because of lack of interest from the buyers? Because you guys haven't been pushing the issue?
Yeah,
because real estate's selling like, well, you know what it's selling like, all over the place. You'd think that they would be all hot and bothered about getting this thing.
I think it's a combination of the both. We're not overly motivated to sell right now because of what's going on. You mentioned right before the break the state surplus of nearly $100 billion. Which translates directly down to schools and funding. You combine that with CHP just being slow to get their stuff together in the city of Eureka, again, just not being real quick. And we could certainly speed up the process because we could name our price and say, here's our price. You have 30 days to respond. And if you don't respond and buy it in that 30 days, we're going down the system. And we're not in that big a hurry to make that happen.
Okay, you opened the door.
I did.
All right. Impact fees.
Impact fees, yes.
That facility certainly could be used if the city purchased it for housing.
It could, yes.
Okay, particularly the proximity to the mall and to malls and to the school also. And yet, there's some challenges. In addition to some of those, the school district board voted, 3-1?
Yes.
With an absent to whip out an impact fee.
Right.
I want to explain what that is.
Sure. Technically, it's a developer fee is what it's called. And what it is, that you could call it an impact fee as well. Same type of idea. And so what that is pretty much the entire state of California and several districts around Humboldt County, most don't, but several do, charge what's called a developer fee. And what that means is if you build any new housing, there is a per square footage impact fee that is considered to be the impact on the school district by building new housing or new additions. And this is a calculation that's done in Sacramento. And Sacramento tells us what we are supposed to be charging for this developer fee or impact fee. And what they do is, and they did this to us, is they put grants out there. And there's a grant out there for new facilities for the increased enrollment in transitional kindergarten. So they're moving towards all four-year-olds being in transitional kindergarten. And they're moving towards increasing capacity in preschool. And so they dangle the carrot out there. We know we're requiring you to do this, so we want to give you a grant to build new preschool and kindergarten classrooms, what are called Title V classrooms. They're bigger than a normal classroom and have two restrooms in them. But in order for you to qualify for this grant, which you may or may not get, but to even qualify for this grant, you have to be charging maximum developer fees. And so basically Sacramento, what they're saying is you have to charge these. And so we're, as one of the few districts around left that has not been charging developer fees, the board looked at it and decided to start charging the developer fees so we could apply for the state grant, which was about $11 million.
So if we look at the declining enrollment and you look at a lot of the elementary schools, those facilities aren't being 100% utilized now just because there aren't enough kids. Do you need new classrooms or can you just fix up the ones you got?
So the elementary schools that we have left are being pretty much 100% utilized. The only site that has really any empty classrooms in it at all is Lafayette, and it's pretty close to full.
Well, I was thinking Lincoln. I mean, I know you're using Zoe Barnum in there also.
Right.
But, you know, that doesn't need a school campus per se, does it?
Doesn't, what do you mean doesn't need a school campus?
A full, I mean, you wouldn't want to mix little guys along with high school kids.
Correct.
Get that.
Yes, yes.
But doesn't Eureka High have unused space right now?
Not
with
really.
With the class sizes being as small as they are. And when I went through, it was like 1,800 to 2,200 kids.
But most of those classrooms, Eureka High School at its peak was about 2,000 students, close to it, a little bit less. Yeah. And but if you recall where the new gym is, that whole area was covered with portable classrooms.
No. In the '70s, it wasn't.
Well, I don't know about the '70s.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't anywhere close to being in high school in the '70s.
Okay. Well, my understanding, class of 78, was that the class of 75 had about 2,200 kids in the three classes that were going through at that time when it was a 3-year high school. So that's kind of been my benchmark of what the capacity has been.
So what I could say comfortably right now is there's no way we could house 2,200 students on that site in the classrooms that are there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Fred, with some of the different challenges with housing that are in the area, we've got this impact fee, and you know, $5 a foot doesn't sound like a whole lot until you start multiplying. And they're probably not doing it freebie. Yeah, the builder isn't going to just absorb it. It's going to be passed.
That's correct. There's no doubt that it'll be passed on. At the end of the day, whomever lives in the house will be paying that.
Right. That assessment or developer fee or whatever. So as Eureka is trying to hit their housing mandates, and we've got the pressures from Humboldt State and the developments that are going on in the area, and this is good outside of just the city. Does it include, I presume, freshwater?
It does.
Anybody that kind of filters in.
And the interesting
ends up at Eureka High.
Right. And the interesting thing about that is Cutton is planning on doing their own developer fees.
On top
Freshwater is planning on doing their own developer fees. And the way that works is if Eureka and Cutton or Eureka and Freshwater does developer fees, it's still the $4.79 a foot. However, the two districts split it. But if just Eureka does developer fees, Eureka gets a full $4.79. Or if Eureka chooses not to do it and Cutton does it or Freshwater does it, they get the full $4.79.
So their school boards take the hit.
Yep. So, I mean, is happening all over the place. And, again, this is the state strong-arming us into making ourselves eligible. That's why those
is the
districts
only,
are doing it as
only
well.
Only reason for this was this one grant? Or is it now a qualifier for a lot of different funding?
Well, it's a qualifier for what's called emergency hardship funding. And what emergency hardship funding is, there's two different types of that, and I won't get too deep into it, but the emergency financial hardship funding, the charging maximum developer fees is a qualification for that. And so in order to really qualify for this grant and be competitive, 50% of the score was based on emergency financial hardship. And so that's why it was really made apparent that we had to be charging maximum developer fees for that to happen.
Or at least the board can consider it.
Yes. And so the board has directed us to bring it back to them in 6 months because they want to take a look at the impact that it's had on the community, and they want to consider whether or not they want to continue charging the developer fees or not.
Well, with most builds taking 5 to 6 months, that really isn't going to give you much of a timeline to be able to make that determination. But as you're looking.
So are you suggesting they should wait longer to look at that?
I'm saying that perhaps
I gotcha.
there should have been some modeling that could have projected in to see what the impacts would be, talking to the realtors and the folks that are putting in some of these ADU units and you know, some of these conversions, you know, the existing property owners, and gotten some feedback. Because, you know, if a house is $500,000, $10,000 doesn't sound like too much if it's a 2,000 square foot, but it could be the difference. you know, particularly with other prices escalating. You still got your PG&E. You still got your hookup fees. I mean, you're, what, $30,000, $35,000 for a five. You're starting to get close to an 8 to 10% number. And that, yeah, and the whip on the bonds and the property taxes and insurance, yeah, it starts to get to a point where maybe we don't, or maybe we go to another community outside the taxing area.
Well, which is interesting because there really isn't another community in California that's outside the builder's fees, because almost all school districts in California are charging the developer fees. Now, that's not an excuse to do it.
At the $5, is that?
So locally, not all.
You've been saying maximum, so I don't know if that's a discretion you guys had or if that's just the title that the state whipped down.
So that's the title the state whips down in order to be eligible for financial hardship. Locally, if you're not applying for the financial hardship, you can do whatever you want with the developer fees. You can charge less.
So you guys could have chosen $1. Okay, maybe that's a fair number, but this is a threshold you had to cross to get access to this particular funding.
That's, well, to get qualified, that doesn't even guarantee us access. And so I want to make sure that we're clear about
qualified.
Yeah, you said access. I had to say qualified because we don't know whether or not. It's $225 million is in this grant. And so we're not sure whether we will be funded on that or not.
But you said $11 million is what you're shooting for?
Correct.
And how many classrooms is that?
8. And it actually probably won't even build 8.
A million and a third a classroom?
Oh, and that's under. It'll cost more than that, most likely.
Does that include purchasing property?
Nope.
PG&E hookups?
Yes.
You can't just use existing facilities and just make an extension or an annex or the West Wing?
Nope, not really. So what this would be is building new, it would be replacing 4 portable classrooms and building 4 new classrooms, and so it would likely all be stick
permanents rather than portables?
Correct. Yep. School construction, and this is why they do the state sets it. It's $4.79 whether you live in Marin County or you live in Humboldt County.
Which is really goofy because your percentages go screaming all over.
Actually, they don't. Well, yeah, they do to a certain extent.
A new home in Sonoma County is going to run millions.
But you're missing
$5 a foot as a percentage. That ratio is much smaller.
But that's not what the state allocation board looks at when they look at these fees. They look at what does it cost to build a facility. That's what they're trying to offset. And take the gym, for example. Gym all in is about a $30 million facility. It's just crazy expensive. And you build that same gym in Marin County, it's probably going to cost maybe even a little less than $30 million. And that kind of seems crazy, just thinking off the top of the head, is our builder, Thompson Builders, is coming down from Vallejo. So their mobilization to Marin would probably be less expensive. And so we have to charge that. Right. Plus the shipping of steel and the various building materials up here increases the cost. And the wages are basically the same.
If you would have gotten wood, we probably could have saved on that one.
Well, it's difficult to engineer to state standards a wood building of that magnitude. You can do it, but it's not. Steel is much easier.
Yeah. Well, you probably have to deal with a certain bias on that one, who your vendor might be for wood products.
Well, that's not so much the issue as what the state allocate. I mean, what the
Look
Division
it up,
of State
people,
Architects.
It makes sense. Oh, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, end of the year, graduation, that kind of good stuff. It's all happening. We kind of joshed a little bit about tomorrow, you know, that you'll be up there subject to sunburns and mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff.
Hopefully not rain.
Well, it's not supposed to be.
There's that off chance showers that's still out there.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, fine. Well, just go with it then. Still at Albee Stadium?
It is, indeed. Yeah, we had to go through, do the safety inspection, part of that inspection
is to
bring an engineer out. No, the culvert and the sinkholes to make sure that we don't have any issues.
You got kids playing on it, though, right?
Because we did the safety inspection. No, they're not playing on it.
Not in practice or anything?
Nope. They're off at different sites doing the sports, spring sports.
Okay.
So you fall often, so you ought to know.
Yeah. It's, spring forward, fall back. Okay. Wee. Fall down, get up. Okay. I'm an ace.
The only problem is
I'm an ace on directions.
The older you get, the harder it is to spring forward after you fall, though.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Stay tuned. So you'll be down there being able to take it, the traditional. Now, with the
next year,
class size is how
there.
Much this year?
Eureka High School class size is, I couldn't tell you the exact number. It's somewhere between 300 and 400.
Okay. So no restrictions for attendance, or do you?
No restrictions for attendance.
So if,
well, yeah. I mean, there's only so many tickets per grad. We'll fill the stands, but it's the same that it's always been. There's no COVID restrictions on the attendance.
Oh, no. I was just thinking if somebody hasn't been to high school graduation in forever.
You have to have a ticket.
You can't just walk in.
Right. You can come to Zoe Barnum. It's a smaller
Where's
graduation.
Where is that
going to
be?
It's Albee Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Although Zoe Barnum
in the
already
afternoon
happened.
Or in the morning? Oh, it's happened. They get out early?
Yeah. No, they still are supposed to come back to school, but their graduation was yesterday.
It was one of the cool things that Brookings does. I think it just makes so much sense. The Friday before finals, right, is advancement day. So then those in the underclasses get a chance for a week to kind of hit stride, see what's going on a little bit, get everything's all dialed in. Or if you're moving from junior high up to the high school, It gives you a chance to kind of be on campus a little bit so everything isn't so stunningly new as you're trying to remember everything else that's going on also.
Well, they can do that and come to summer school if they'd like. Eighth graders are welcome to come to summer school.
Are you going
to
have one?
Yes, we are having a K-12 summer school program.
Regular, normal, like you and I knew it?
Yep. Well, the high school is more credit recovery. There is some enrichment classes, but most of them
English.
Are remedial. But at the elementary
credit
and
recovery,
middle school.
What does that mean?
That means you lost credits because you failed a class.
Oh, you just didn't take enough classes.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's possible you didn't take enough because you took a class because you were taking it a second time during the school year, so you had to come back and take a class. But generally, the high school, it's only 120 hours compared to a normal school year is 180 hours. And so normally it's designed for a retake rather than taking it for the first time.
Okay, so it's not the fun classes?
There are some fun classes there as well. There will be, but those are minimal, not a lot there. The fun classes this year will be lined up more towards the kinder through eighth grade classes in those elementary schools. That's one thing that's nice. We have not done prior to last year the elementary and middle school summer schools in decades because the funding was cut. And that's a nice piece of having some of the funding is we're able to do some of that.
So is that surplus dollars that you had or teachers wanting to earn some more money? I mean, how'd
it's
that one
it's
come together?
COVID dollars, one-time dollars that came to us for what's called extended learning opportunities that we can use in summer school programs.
These titles,
it's crazy. Yep.
So you got summer school this year, but there's no guarantee next year that it will be there.
I think we have plenty of money to do it next year, but there's no guarantee that it'll go into perpetuity.
Is anybody talking about 12-month school years anymore? It seemed to make
they should
so
be.
Much
it
sense.
Makes a lot of sense because the summer was really designed around an agrarian society and being out for harvest. And I mean, that you
better
go back
take
to
some time off in the fall around here than it is to in the middle of summer.
Right. But I we're so entrenched in so many people that I think there's such a pushback to even that consideration, even though it's the right thing to do for learning.
See, I would far rather have scheduled vacations in spring and fall and summer. After 2 weeks, now you start to lose your learning momentum and you get out of the routine and everything else. If you have a summertime job, I can get that. But it just seems like it's one of those antiquated holdovers.
It's interesting.
Time has come.
You've probably heard of the learning gap. And what the learning gap is, the distance between slower learners and faster learners. 90% of that learning gap starts in the first to second grade from students of poverty versus students who go out and do things during the summer.
Summertime stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well, maybe next year we'll get it. Depends on who your next new board member is.
We have a new one.
Oh, who?
Her name is Jessica, and I'm going to get her last name wrong, so I'm not even going to try it. But she's a parent of ours, and she is on the PTA, parent organization over at Washington Elementary. Board did interviews on Friday of last week and appointed her. She will be sworn in and officially take over on June 23rd.
See everybody tomorrow.